Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
I'm Ben Earl. This is Absolute Radio Country. I'm joined by an artist who comes from a family of famous country musicians. Sam Williams' father and grandfather are both country music icons. And, well, now he's carving his own career path in the genre. His music is critically acclaimed and he's worked with some of the biggest names in country. Sam, welcome to Absolute Radio Country. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so splendid this morning. Thank you.
That's so great to have you back. I mean, you've played here quite a few times. You've been at the Long Road Festival, C2C as well. There's so much I want to chat to you about your new record and stuff. But how does it feel to be back in the UK for you?
It feels amazing. And I think that I write serious music, you know, but I'm extremely silly on the exterior. So I love to like play a character like I'm a British singer. I live in London. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it tickles me that way. And I think it's great to be around different people, different energy. You know what I'm saying? Change of scenery. So I'm very excited. I have played here a few times. Different kind of places.
So you obviously, for listeners who don't know, you come from legendary icons. Your family history is incredible. Your grandfather's Hank Williams. Your father's Hank Jr. When did music start for you? Like, when did you know this is what you wanted to do? Was it always there?
I think that it was always there, but I usually say that it was kind of hidden. It was kind of camouflaged because I think from a young age, I wanted to be great. I wanted to be great at everything. And I don't know what that was about my family, but I felt that pressure. And I think that when it came to, music, that was never placed on me, expectations really for anything. And I was never pushed into it. But I thought personally, it seemed a little heavy, like, you know, so much accolade, so much legacy and history behind my family that, you know, it'd be hard to keep up, right? And I think that the more I tried to kind of get away from it, the more so it was going to happen anyways. And I think when you first start making music, you don't really know what you're doing sometimes. And then in hindsight, you look back and you're like, oh, it all makes sense. I have songs coming out next year that are some of the very first songs I wrote years and years ago that, you know, it's just a journey. So I'm just grateful to be here, you know, and have my voice and my messages, you know, shared with other people.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think my kids are probably going to be accountants, just do something completely different to me. They just literally shy away from it. Like, it's interesting you said you ran away from, well, the further you went away, the closer you came to, which is amazing to me.
I think I actually wanted to be in international relations. That's what I was kind of doing. I'm like an encyclopedia of strange knowledge about stuff like that. And I did go to school for music, though. And then when I found out I was going to be a dad, I had to stop going to school after a little bit because, honestly, I wasn't good at it anyways. College, I sucked at. So I'm better at writing music and thinking of, like, visual ideas and concepts, you know? And writing songs for Cirque du Soleil, I'm much better at that than writing papers.
Wow, that's so fascinating because the new record, the word I wrote down was, it is like cinematic to me. There's like the segues you've got with the telephone conversations.
I get
and
that.
Stuff.
I've gotten that a lot and I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that like as important as music is for me, I think presentation and setting and plot and, you know, visuals in general are all an important piece. And I think just maybe the artists I grew up watching, you know, visuals have become so, you know, parallel to the music that's just how I see it when I'm even first writing almost sometimes. It has to do with the concept of a whole project.
Yeah.
And I think that's lost, you know, a lot of times. It's just songs that are, you know, smorgasborded together and like, this is going to be the album. We're going to call it this. And I'm not a fan of that.
It's like, I'm jealous because my brain doesn't work like yours. When I'm writing, I am the smorgasbord and it all comes together. And I've always wished I could do that because the cover art of Act One, Scarlet Lonesome, you've got that red top on. It all is so kind of like congruous, all fits together. It kind of reminded me of Rufus Wainwright slightly. And you know, it's more of a pop side, but you know.
I referenced him the other day. That's funny. Well, yesterday we went to Buckingham Palace and we're touring like the art rooms and stuff. And a lot of the portraits there were kind of like this art style where they would have like the royals maybe seated inside, but the background is outside. Like it's a mixture of both and like billowing red curtains in the background. And we were sitting looking at this portrait of Queen Victoria and her family. And I was like, tell me this doesn't look like the Act One Scarlet Lobster cover. And we looked, it's a big red curtain in the background and stone steps going down. And I was like, yeah, it really looks like I like tried to copy this.
Wow. It's meant to be. Well,
thank you. Thank you for noticing.
So this is Act One, Scarlet Lonesome. Have we got two more acts to come?
How did you know this already?
I'm just in the film thing, guessing three okay. acts in a movie. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
So when can we expect yes. those? I've got to say, actually, I love this one. You've got seven tracks on there. Mm. I think my favorite is American Actress.
Really?
I do love that song.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Yes, Act Two will be out top of next year. And it's kind of that I make a lot of different kinds of music. And Act One is very sexy, sensual, dark, and eerie, right? And Act Two is a lot of my more big records, pop records, hip-hop records, just stuff that I haven't really put my foot into yet.
Yeah.
I've been busy writing sad songs for the rest of my life, so I'm kind of trying to get to a point where I'm not doing that. Yeah. So Act Two and Three will be out next year, and I'm just really excited to give people something new and to, you know, like, show the different multifaceted sides of what I can create.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, it feels like a big step on from Glasshouse Children, which I love that record,
yeah.
but it feels like sonically a big step on.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have to ask you about Dolly Parton on there, because the story I read about how you asked her to be on the record is just brilliant.
It's crazy.
Dear Miss Dolly, is that right?
It's what?
Dear Miss Dolly, you wrote on a letter.
I did, yeah. So the idea had been around for a little bit five years ago, about asking Dolly to be on that song. And there was just no way to make it happen. There ended up being a mutual friend. I'm not going to go specific. That was just the most random occupation of someone in the camp that you would think, right? And they were close friends, and she asked her about it, told her about me. And she said she'd love to hear, so I wrote her a long letter and wrote the lyrics out on a typewriter. Took me forever. So bad at that. And I laminated it, and I brought her like this, like, care package. Like it was like Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
I'm like driving to her office, take her this care package, and drop it off. And she agreed to do it and stuff. And I actually had to take her a CD of the song, right? Nobody does that anymore. It's like, send me the link. So I get a CD burned to take to her offices. And I had to buy a CD player too, because in case they couldn't find it. Yeah. It just got this, you know, this can't mess up for me. So I went to Target and bought a CD player, and then I drove to the offices in the rain. And I like ring the thing. I'm like, hey, this is going to sound crazy. This is Sam Williams. I'm leaving this here for Dolly. She's gonna record this song. So thank you guys so much. I just remember it like it was pouring rain. So much love to Dolly. She is just one of the most important icons for me for so many different reasons that are even, you know, outside of the standard of songwriting and, you know, everything that she's done.
I think I agree with you completely. I think also she's such an ally to like the LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. And obviously you came out around to the time of Glasshouse Children. I think in the UK we can't appreciate how big a deal as an artist that is in country.
Right.
How did it feel for you at the time, like making that decision to just be honest about who you are?
I think for me, it was hard for me to be super duper engaged in it. It was just like, this is something I have to do, and like, I'm not going to, you know, wait around until the time is right, because it might not ever be, and tomorrow's never guaranteed, right? So I kind of thought that, you know, what I'm doing in my career and my music, what I like to represent is authenticity, is, you know, face value of like real stuff. And it seemed like that was promoting invisibility to not be honest about myself. And I don't think it's any knock to any popular artists that keep their private life private. And that's totally someone's choice. But for me, it felt like it was going to be a little bit more hindering to me. And yeah, like I'm comfortable being open with myself. And I'm used to getting hate from people, especially dug in, you know, classical country fans of my dad and grandpa. But that's to be expected. and it comes with anything. You know, everybody has one, an opinion. So I think that I'm just too eclectic to have been trying to pretend I was just completely straight for forever. That would not have gone over for me. But yeah, I appreciate that because it is, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world in Nashville. And a lot of people don't recognize that there's never been an openly gay male artist on a major label in Nashville.
Well, I didn't know that.
In history. I'm the only one, a solo artist. So, you know, it's a big step, and I kind of take life day by day, not so serious sometimes. But it is, you know, changing the genre, and it hasn't been done before yet.
I think it's amazing what you're doing for, there'll be someone or people out there who are looking to you, you know, young guys and girls who like, it can be done. I can be myself, which is, you know, I think it's an amazing thing to do. How do you feel about country music at the moment in general? You've got people like Zach Bryan, Beyonce, Dasha, Shaboozy. It's so eclectic. How do you feel about country just in general?
When I was younger, there was so much early 2000s. Like, I loved, like, the classic records, but everything was kind of the same. And we still have a big problem with that in country. But I think the influx of new ideas and new energy is so welcome. And I don't think that country should be gatekept from people. That's not what music is about. You know, it's just not. We could learn a few things from y'all over here, right? What you think? I think it's great because I've always been a humongous pop, hip-hop fan through and through. The only thing is I work really hard, and I'm like, I hate everybody eating my lunch. I'm like, oh, my gosh, can y'all go back to L.A. for, like, a few months and then come on back, like, later on? No. I'm so welcoming of it because I like to make a wide array of music, you know. Act One and Act Two coming out are not the same at all. Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, reminiscent of the Beyoncé's, Drake's, Nicki, Justin, you know, people that you know, that's their thing is to make different kinds of music.
Yeah.
And that's, I've kind of realized that mine is as well.
So you had Keith Urban, Dolly. Who's the next dream collaboration? Who'd be the absolute dream?
Miley Cyrus.
That'd be awesome. Actually, yeah. That'd be really, really cool.
She's my fave. Love you, Miley, so much.
Let's make it happen. And then just very lastly, we're asking everyone about their Grand Ole Opry debuts. Mm-hmm. Had you been before you made your debut? Imagine you had been to the Opry. Maybe not.
I do not know if I had been or not. I did not grow up going.
Okay.
My dad's not a through and through, not his vibe. Mm-hmm. Going to the Opry or going to Nashville in general, not his vibe. So I remember just the day being there, the debut, really well, because I've had a lot of loss in my family, and that was before my sister Katie had passed. And I'd been in Nashville, you know, trying to make it in country music. Dress up all the time, always making music. She was a hometown, like, country girl, and, like, her coming to the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville all dressed up. It was just a great moment for my family. And kind of like the rites of passage, like what's now,
yeah.
Right? And it was amazing. I wore Hank Sr.'s hat that's kept in the archives at the Country Music Hall of Fame at my Opry debut, which is so, you know, it was just crazy.
That's amazing.
Everybody's looking at me like I was like some ghost, which people do in general.
I was looking like you're a ghost.
This is stressful. Yeah. Like, I'm getting so nervous right now. Like, I'm going to bomb this. No, I love going to the Opry. I like to make it, you know, an event and kind of release a song at the same time as I'm playing the Opry and make it like a weekend thing. Me and Carter Faith are a record together, so I can make it on my own. We released and did the Opry that night on the same bill, and then Nashville Palace after. So, you know, it kind of, it's nice to have, like, gives you some memories, like how to remember that release and, like, where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.